Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener Podcast. I am Colorado State University Horticultural Specialist Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Colorado Master Gardener Khurshid Mama from Larimer County. Now, let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the horticulture topic of plants that give your landscape pizzazz. Hello, Khurshid, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast today, Linda.
Oh, certainly, certainly. I look forward to hearing what you have to say about plants that are considered to give your landscape pizzazz. So is that not more of a personal thing, or you really have something to tell the listening audience about, you know, all the really interesting characteristics that a lot of plants have that could give your landscape pizzazz?
Yeah, a bit of both. I definitely think it is a bit of a personal thing. And I have friends who think some of the plants I think have pizzazz look weedy or dead. But as a general rule, I think there are also characteristics that allow you to choose things you like within plant categories that will allow for your aesthetic to be met in giving it pizzazz. I also look for seasonality when I choose my plants so that the landscape can have some year-round interest.
Well, diversity, you know, biodiversity and diversity in itself is very important. And who would want a landscape where you just had spring and then nothing else?
I agree. Although spring is my favorite season.
Okay. Well, I didn't say you couldn't overload spring, but do you have any, since that is your favorite time, do you have a few suggestions for the listening audience of some of your favorite plants?
Yeah, in spring, of course, the bulbs, right? I mean, bulbs give you early color in the landscape, and now there are so many to choose from. I have one of my favorites are the little species tulips. They're small. They're hardier than the regular Dutch hybrid tulips. And they offer, you know, they open in the day, they close a little at night. So both shapes give you some structure and color. And they last longer. The hybrid tulips, if you get a snowfall or heavy weather, sometimes the heads break off. So those are one I very much enjoy. Another that I have loved for a long time and my neighbors also notice and love are the hellebores. Lenten rose, I think, is one way to say them. And that's sort of the pinker variety. But I have some black or purplish black ones and some white ones. And everybody who walks the pathway is like, what is that plant? So I feel like that's one that has a unique characteristic, and it blooms for fairly long in the early spring. So it's earlier blooming and lasts a good month to 6 weeks. So I like that one. Another favorite, I have so many, is the Carol Mackey Daphne. At this point in time, the variegated foliage, the little delicate flowers, and the scent, right? The fragrance that comes with those. So that's definitely another favorite. I could keep going, but
well,
I'll stop there.
Let me say that the species tulips naturalize. And,
correct.
You know, that's wonderful. You put them in and you wait. And they'll just spread. I mean, they're not aggressive or anything, but they're nice to have in as fillers and to enhance places. And the hellebores, they have been on the market for so many years, and then in the last handful or so years, they just skyrocketed and
yeah, popularity.
All these choices. And I worked on an estate where we put them on a slope so that when you drove into the estate, you could just at eye level in a car, you could see this huge
gorgeous
array with other things in it. But, you know, and that to me, if they sit on the ground necessarily, you're not going to see what they have to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're lovely, and It's fun to also cut a few flowers and bring them in.
Oh,
They
yes.
don't last very long, but it's kind of fun to bring them in and make a little arrangement. So in that time of year when things are still greening up and the earth is brown in Colorado, I think they're a fun thing to have.
Absolutely, absolutely. How does a homeowner create that year-round interest in the landscape? What sort of things, if they already have an established landscape and they don't have a lot of interest, what would you suggest?
Yeah, actually, I've had both an established one that I refurbished and then one we started from scratch. And I think I learned things from the old one. I remember at one point when it snowed, there was nothing to look at in the yard. So, what I learned from that is your backdrop really should be evergreens. And you can put in evergreens of different color, texture, size. We all have favorites. So I think in this garden, in every vignette that you look outside from your window, you see an evergreen. And so that's the backdrop for me. And then that gives you winter interest, but it gives you all year interest. It's sort of the backbone of the garden. After that, I think choosing your trees, because it's easier to plant them when you don't have other things in the ground. And so choosing the deciduous trees you like. And we've had attrition for sure, being as we live in Colorado, but I've tried to choose trees that have interest from early through the fall. So, crab apples, mayday trees, now and transition to lilac tree variety, and then hawthorns. And then summer is not a time where a lot of trees flower, but catalpas come out in June and they are structural and stunning and very tropical looking. And then going on, I have golden rain trees in my yard that flower later in the summer. And while I wouldn't advocate that for everybody because the seeds and the babies that come are definitely work, they're another, it gives you extension of the tree flowering season. And the Seven Suns hop flower flowers even later into August and September if we don't get a snow. So trees are the next for me. And then it's the fun of the color, shrubs. Adding to the structural element, but picking some shrubs that maybe have variegation. So even when they're not flowering, they have that color. Picking shrubs that have bark color that you like, maybe the red twig dogwood. Picking shrubs that have fall color. Some of the currants have beautiful red fall color. Yes, they have a spring bloom and they have fragrance in the spring, berries in the summer, but then extends to the fall. So fall color. So that's sort of extending the season and then supplemented by perennials and grasses. Grasses give texture into the fall and winter. They're late to come out often, but they add for the length of the season. So I don't know if that answers the question, but
Sure,
I'm hoping.
it does. No. And for people who need help with, knowing what color is a complement to another color, if they have a tree in bloom and they want to put a ground cover or perennial that works well underneath it, and they don't understand the color complements, then, by all means, they could use a color wheel to help them select. Yes.
Yeah, I think a color wheel is a great way to go. I often, I think everybody, this goes back to your first question about aesthetic. People have their preferences. And I think it's a good way is if the plants are in the nursery, is put them together in the nursery and see, do you like them together? And then would they go together? Do they have similar water habits? Do they have similar sun requirements? And do they bloom at the same time? A lot of ground covers bloom at a different time than the tree, so it may not matter, right? and you can just put two things you like in the garden.
Sure. And they have to be certain, you know, when you're in the nursery, you're looking at a younger plant. You're not looking at a mature plant.
Correct.
So it would be nice to do some homework to see if, oh, you're really going to like that plant when it's a lot older, no matter whether it's a tree or just a ground cover. So
that's really, I think, a really good point. You know, we all plant for immediate reward, and then in a little while, you're removing plants because they got overcrowded. So not only the aesthetic part, but you're like, okay, that wasn't the best idea. So things do grow.
Yes, and I've on occasion, you know, younger days have done that myself, and it's like, why did I put that so close to that? That was really not good.
Now, gardening is a ever learning hobby, isn't it?
Well, you know, we plant for the immediate, but it's never an immediate thing, because it's just like our life cycle. You know, we are here for years, and that plant's going to be here for years. So really, you know, we're going to evolve. We're going to change things. There's no question about that. But, you know, for the moment, what works and what works well.
Yeah. So are you asking me what works well?
No, I'm just saying we should think about what's really going to work. What's really going to work well. And I've said this before, you know, don't buy a plant that likes clay soil and put it in sand.
Yeah, or opposite, right? We have clay soils and we have alkaline soils. And I know, well, there are parts of town here, at least in Fort Collins, that do have more acid soils. But for the most part, it's alkaline soil or construction dirt, which is, I'm not sure what. But I think we've all wanted to have, I have also tried them, blueberries, for example, and they can be nursed along. And I've had a few berries, but the plant doesn't live long term. And there are other things that may do okay in focused areas like azaleas, but generally, I think we have plenty of plants to choose from that like our clay soils, that can handle the somewhat harsh conditions of the extremes in temperature and weather we see. So I think that's probably the smarter way to go.
I would agree. So what are some shrub suggestions you have for the listening audience?
Okay, let me think about that for a second.
Uh-oh.
All right. So again, you know, Carol Mackey Daphne starting early in the spring. Another early spring blooming shrub is the clove currant. It has the yellow flowers and it's quite fragrant. The one caution, and I think there's an evolved species, is they do tend to spread. And so that's something some species or varieties, I should say, don't spread and some do. So it's important, if you don't want it to spread, to look at that. And then some other ones, viburnums, all shapes and flower structure. Snowball viburnums here tend to be very prone to aphids, but the other viburnums do quite well and are quite hardy. You have to just be cautious you don't get a giant one if you meant to get a small one, because they do tend to grow. So those are a good choice because their flower and then their leaf structure is quite nice, especially in a backdrop. Some of my favorites are actually a little bit later blooming. Some of the Weigelia, they come out more in the summer, and all kinds of colors, leaf textures, leaf color. So it's more than just the flower that you're looking for. Butterfly bushes for later in the year. Again, many flower choices for those who like flowers, and of course, supporting the insect population. And then I don't know if peonies would be considered a shrub. The tree peonies probably would be. The regular ones are more herbaceous, but they add a lot of fun in the spring to summer. My all t well, I nothing is an all-time favorite, but two that are beautiful in the fall or late summer, when things are often looking a bit tired, are the panicle hydrangeas and the hibiscus. And
Yes. Good.
so,
Good
yeah,
choices.
a little.
I'm assuming you have a lot of that in your yard.
I have a panicle hydrangea, and I have a hibiscus. I have tried some other hibiscus unsuccessfully, but my neighbors have some that I can walk by and enjoy, and they are beautiful. And they're the newer varieties. Some of them have red leaves, different colored flowers. Mine is grief leaf pink, green leafed pink flowered, and I love it. But these other varieties give you even more, perhaps, variety and color if that's what you're looking for throughout the year. So,
Right. So what ornamental grasses would you suggest homeowners add to their landscape?
yeah, grasses are a lovely addition. I would say I'm not an expert, even though I have a few grasses in my yard. I actually like variegation. So I like the ones that look like zebra stripes. They get quite large, and their blooms go into the fall, and they're great for cut arrangements. I often add them to flower arrangements. So that's a preference on my part. But there are blue grandma grasses. Blonde Ambition, I think, is one of those that sort of has the eyelashes. Looks like eyelashes. Some people say they spread, some people say they don't, but that's one that's a smaller, lower blooming grass. Ruby Muley is a variety that I think Lauren Springer created, and it's a really delicate, pretty grass, catches the light as well, and also not very large, a smaller grass. For a long time, the calamagrotus grasses, specifically Carl Forrester, was very popular. And they have a newer variety in that, I think, called Avalanche, which is increasing in popularity. So that's something. And then in pathways, I have a penicetum, I think, a fountain grass called Hamlin, which is a smaller one. And so that's kind of nice to add around a pathway. And okay, you do trip over them if they creep into the pathway, but that's another one, I think. For folks who are interested in this type of information or want to look, I would say go to nurseries and go to a few of them and look at them. We have a lot of reputable ones in Fort Collins. And then also go to the extension website, and there are fact sheets on a lot of plants in all of the varieties, oh, sorry, all the categories you're asking: shrubs, trees, grasses, perennials, ground covers, vines. So people can look at them and see what the characteristics are and see if they fit for their yard.
Right, and take a good look at the zone, and
Yeah.
the first ornamental grass that you talked about was Miscanthus zebrinus.
Yeah, I
Yes.
always call it the zebra grass because
Yes.
that's
Well, it's aptly named. Yes. And there's a whole host of
Miscanthus. Yeah.
maiden hair grass that there's Chinese silver grass. That picks up the light, and that the seed heads have a reddish color to them. I mean, it's just, you can have such a wide selection with that grass, but you're gonna have to cut it back in March, and you're gonna have to divide it every 2 to 3 years. So,
Yeah, they're not just plant them and leave them, but then most of our plants are not, right? People want low maintenance, and even perennials have to be cut back. And sometime thinned out and or kept in their little space. So I think when you have a garden, you're committing to some effort.
Oh, certainly, yes. You know, plants are living beings, so you can't just walk away and say, well, I'm done with that. So, and I know that Plant Select has a great variety of plants that are tried and true, and you know, we should use throughout the state.
Yeah, very good point. I mean, they've tested them here in Colorado. So what a nice thing to have available to us.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But you know, I know there's others like Proven Winners and things like that that are also available, and they're tested, and I know that there is a huge selection of compact plants that are coming out by Burnham's that don't get any higher than 2 or 3 feet, and all kinds of different shrubs and other plants, because that's what's driving the market right now is, you know, I like compact and I like it to be floriferous, and I don't want it to be attacked by insects, and that has its own pros and cons. And if you want some of them, you know, in my opinion, it would be to say wonderful. If that's your preference, and but if you want biodiversity, you should mix in a lot of other things with it.
Yeah, definitely. I have seen some small viburnums. I actually have one in my yard, and unfortunately, it hasn't stayed that small. It was called Mini Man, and Mini Man has gone to Macro Man, so we have to prune him. So, and I have a small forsythia that I was trialing. Another plant that I just feel like I want to mention, it's not easy to grow, but I think it's stunning, is the fern leaf peony.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes.
It's small. It right now it's small in my yard, and I know others have had one or two that have grown bigger, but mine is staying fairly compact as a compact herbaceous plant. It's a little different and it blooms earlier than the regular peonies. It's blooming now in my yard, so really enjoying that.
It is a very gracious, stunning plant if you have the right location for it. So, yeah. Oh.
So,
Cool.
yeah.
And by all means, people need to trial plants on their own, and, you know.
I would agree. And people think when they see my garden now, oh, well, you're an expert. And I'm like, you have no idea how many things I've killed. I don't mean to sound like, oh yeah, but it's true, right? And the weather here has taken a toll on trees, on shrubs, and some years they do fine, and other years it's just hitting at the wrong time
Well,
and you lose them. So
there are particulars to every plant, and there are nuances in every landscape. You know, you live there, you have to understand and observe all the microclimates that are happening. And you know, you move into a new property, you don't know that. And
really smart to watch and see what the weather pattern is. The challenge I found, even in our garden, is the sun position changes through the year. And what you thought was sunny is now not, or vice versa. And then as plants grow, they shade out other plants. So that too evolves the garden, right? My husband laughs. He's like, I didn't know plants moved to new communities because he helps me dig them up and move them. He's like, why do we have to do this every year? And I'm like, well, it's not working here anymore. It has to have a new home.
We're the plant moving company.
Needs a new community.
Well, they outgrow their spaces too, you know, and what worked then doesn't work now. So It's that evolving piece, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I encourage people to go out and try things, you know. It's how are you going to learn?
Yeah, it does break your heart a little bit when you know, your second redbud has decided to give up the ghost. But and somebody else's is thriving, you know. But I guess again, it's microclimate, and even though you choose the right one from the right area of the country, may not be your yard that it likes to be in.
No, you don't have the right space, the right place for it. That's just anyway, is there anything else you'd like to share about adding pizzazz to the landscape?
Perhaps one more thing, because I didn't really touch on it, is vines.
Oh, yes.
Especially for people who have maybe smaller yards, but want some interest through the summer, you can do vines either on a fence or on a trellis. And clematis, of course, everybody knows about them, and they're beautiful, and there are so many, many varieties to choose from now. Some that bloom through the whole season now, they don't have the same volume sort of blooms, but they bloom all the time, and that can be a nice backdrop. Wisteria, which I actually have had good luck with in my garden, has been a good vine. It's been hardy. It blooms every year reliably. There are, of course, honeysuckles, other things, so many of them to choose from. And one that I don't think gets much recognition, but I think is cool, partly because I like variegation, is the porcelain berry vine. And it comes late, and then it has these bluish purple berries in the late summer, which add color at a time when there isn't much. So another one, so vines, I think, would be the one to add.
Well, and don't forget, there's a wonderful honeysuckle in Plant Select, Kinsley's Ghost.
Yes,
yes. And that's a great vine.
Yeah.
And wisteria, I've seen here, and you know, I've seen it do well in certain situations, and I've read, you know, when it's protected and everything, it doesn't like high winds, and that inhibits its flowering. And then I come across somebody as a colleague, and here they have it on shelter in the corner of their yard, and it gets hit with lots of
everything. Yeah.
And it's doing just fine.
Yeah. Mine's on the dog kennel and it's doing just fine. But I have seen the same. I've seen people use it over pergolas.
Yeah.
And they do beautifully. Another, if you want some fruit and you don't have a huge raccoon population, is grapes, right? You could have edible plant, which is a whole nother venue that you can go into, you know, gooseberries, raspberries, etc., that you can grow here and have edible plants as well in your garden. So
right. Well, you know, and both Kinsley's Ghost and Wisteria are stunning plants, and I say if you want it, try it. You never know how it's going to fare. And sometimes, you know, there might be locations where it's too windy or it's a little bit colder or something, or something's off, that it may not bloom as prolifically, but it's certainly worth having.
Yeah, and I think it's the type. You have to be careful on the type you get. And I don't remember what that looks like, but I think asking the question, are they hardy here? Has that been tried here? is important, and then giving it a couple years to establish. They don't bloom right away. I think they take a little while to get established and then start. So
I worked on an estate many years ago, and she had this very old wisteria, and it just had overgrown. And she said, I can never get this thing to bloom. And so I went in and I pruned it and I fertilized it, and it bloomed.
That
growth has to be taken back to,
Yes, new growth is important for the flowers as well on that one.
Right. Yeah. You have to really, pruning is a good part of that. So, whereas something like Kingsley's Ghost, you leave it alone
and it goes.
So that's all. It comes back to the maintenance of this. Yeah. Landscape with pizzazz.
Right. That's what we were talking about. I got sidetracked by all the plants.
It's okay. Is there any other thing that's not necessarily a plant, but you think that would add pizzazz to the landscape?
Ah, okay. Good question. I do like colorful pots. And, sometimes you can use pots to fill in an area that maybe hasn't done so well this year. And so color through pots or containers. I also have some yard art, and one of my favorite is these colored posts you can get that have sayings on them. They're not inexpensive, but sometimes they go on sale, and I like them because you can get one that has some meaning to you. It may talk about relationships, it may talk about gardening, it may talk about whatever, and they have a few sayings, but they also add some vibrancy to areas of the yard, like maybe in front of an evergreen in the spring and summer that you can get through that. I think some of the metal orbs, and I have a sort of in-ground pond, and I have a couple of bird structures next to it, just to give it some context. So I think yard art selected well can really add to a garden. Some people like benches so they can go sit in a different spot. You can have fire pits. I mean, you can have fountains or rock fountains. So the hardscape, I think, does matter and is probably the first thing you should install, which I didn't say. But I think that can add a lot. Water, a lot of people like water in the yard, and can be as simple as a container with a bubbler. In a small yard, or just some of the smaller fountains, to an in-ground structural fountain.
Well, to me, your garden is a sacred space. It's your space, and you create it however you want to, and that's your escape from the world around you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Any other favorite plants you'd like to tell people about? I know you could go on, but one or two that you really think people should consider.
Well, if you like evergreens with a little bit of oddity, I think my favorite, I've had them in both yards in Colorado, is the Weeping Norway Spruce. I actually had in this design put it right by where we could see it from our kitchen window, so I could see it, and my husband even thinks it has character. He sometimes says the lights look like they have eyes in the tree and etc. So that's one of my favorites for an evergreen. I do think catalpas with their tropical feel, I grew up in the tropics, so I like those, and their flowers are also tropical, tubular, beautiful. They are a little messy, and they can have pods.
Yes, and they bloom later. They bloom when nothing else is blooming for a tree. Here.
So I do like I like that one. You know, there's always new things coming out. Another evergreen I like, and there's now many varieties to speak to some of your smaller structure plants, but is the bristlecone pine. I think they are quite lovely and unique in how they look for an evergreen. So I do enjoy those. I think I'm always looking for shape. I have weeping white spruce as well, and I have a really good friend who's like, why do you always get these weird upside down dead looking trees? I'm like, they are not dead. They're very healthy and happy. Thank you. But it's aesthetic, right? So they're among my favorites, but they're not necessarily other people's favorites.
Right.
So, gosh, I'm trying to think if I have any other favorites. They haven't lived very long in my yard, but I've liked the Genista brooms in the past. It's the yellow, vibrant yellow that comes out. I think the elderberries are a nice species, whether you get the sort of reddish varieties or the chartreuse varieties. They both add color and a different texture and feel to the garden for a large shrub. Oh, I could go on with plants. I should probably stop.
That's okay. Well, I certainly thank you for joining me today. And you know, if you come up with another topic, do you think our listening audience would like? Happy to have you back.
Thank you so much, Linda. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. A thank you to the audience for listening. Tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter on another horticultural topic.